Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." Zacchaeus came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall pay it four times over. And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. We see the collision of two great desires in the Gospel. Jesus' desire and Zacchaeus' desire. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Came as that good shepherd who would leave the 99 behind and go out and seek, find, and take back, save the life of the one lost sheep. Second desire was the desire of Zacchaeus. He had heard about Jesus. He had heard the wonderful miracle. He had likely heard about the healing of Bartimaeus, which we had a chance to ponder yesterday, not to mention all the rest, because he was the chief tax collector. He would get the information from the Roman soldiers. He'd get it from everybody who would come to see him to pay their taxes, everything else. He was a well-connected man, and he wanted to see Jesus, but he had the handicap of being short. And as Jesus was passing by, Zacchaeus wasn't going to miss his opportunity. It's a little bit of a detail here that sometimes we can pass over as a quaint little thing. But what Zacchaeus did is unbelievable. Imagine if when, for example, Pope Benedict came, Mayor Bloomberg, who was a short man as well, couldn't really see him. So he went and he climbed up on a light fixture. Let's add it. Imagine Alan Greenspan, or the head of a bank, with a toga on, decided to climb up on a tree in order to see JP2 when he was coming to DC. How ridiculous that would be. Imagine all the young people today who are taking photos with their smartphones of all these types of upskirt images, what they would do with the tax collector in a toga. He didn't care. He just wanted to see Jesus. And with a certain sort of childlike vivacity, this middle-aged man started climbing up on limbs and branches in order to see the itinerant preacher, just to see him. And Jesus wanted to be seen, because he had come precisely there for Zacchaeus. He already knew Zacchaeus' name. Could tell he was already praying for Zacchaeus. he had set his crosshairs on the biggest sinner in town. Zacchaeus, he cries up to the man on the tree, bringing all the attention, all the notice to him. Today I must stay at your house. And Zacchaeus quickly came down. When everybody was criticizing Jesus for having this relationship with sinners, they wanted him to annihilate sinners, not to become their friend. And they began to grumble, saying that he's going to stay at the house of a sinner. The Pharisees wouldn't enter the house of a sinner without being made contagious, such that they'd have to do the ablutions in order to go to the synagogue or the temple. It was a big deal for them. The whole word Pharisee meant that they were the separated ones, precisely separated from sin and sinners. Zacchaeus there, though, the shock to me is that Zacchaeus wasn't chosen to be an apostle. Because what Zacchaeus does right here shows a little bit of his character. It says, he stood there. He knew he was being mocked. Everybody knew he was being mocked. He stood there and said, behold, half my possessions, Lord, I'm committing to you in front of all of these people. Half of what I own, I'm going to give over to the poor. That was a sizable income. King Herod had promised to give up to half his kingdom after the lewd dance of his stepdaughter. It was an enormous level of generosity. Half I commit in front of everybody, I'm going to give to the poor. If I've ever defrauded anyone of anything, I will repay it fourfold. You had to make restitution under the Mosaic law. You had to give it back. And that would have been sufficient. That would have shown real repentance. If he had said, I will double whatever I've defrauded, it would have been a massive repayment, a real sign of contrition. Four times over, I will give it to the poor if I've ever defrauded anyone of anything. A tremendous sorrow that was leading to action. For his work as a tax collector, which we've talked about before, was the head of the local mafia. Because the way you would make your salary is if the Romans were going to get this much from that city, whatever you could get beyond that was yours to keep. And you had the Roman soldiers on your side to be able to help you to shake down the people of the village for the Romans. So you were a traitor to your people, and you were also someone who was basically always crooked. He probably had a lot of restitution to make. And he probably didn't have much less. And he, as a tax collector, probably would have had an actuarial mind, the mind of an accountant, who would have quickly known that most of his fortune he was now pledging to give back and giving everybody permission to come and say, you defrauded me. But he stood there. Showed what real contrition was, showed how salvation had in fact come to his house, and showed that in the presence of Jesus, that pearl of great price, everything was now reevaluated, and what he had formerly set his heart on was no longer the object of all his desires. Jesus said something beautiful. Today salvation has come to this house, because the Savior was entering his house. The Savior was entering his house because Zacchaeus was that lit candle waiting for the advent of Jesus coming. And no matter how many people got in his way, no matter how many were blocking his vision of Jesus, he was going to surpass those obstacles in order to at least see him. And little did Zacchaeus know that seeing Jesus was only the beginning of what God had in mind from before the foundation of the world. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, the great 13th century Franciscan queen who was a real icon of charity into the present day. She had become a Franciscan, obviously, very early in the history of the Franciscan order. So touched was she by the example of Francis and Claire and their betrothal of Lady Poverty, that she used the resources that had been placed into her hand to give basically all that she could to the poor of the time. At the beginning of this Mass, we prayed that, like she had received God's grace, so we also would to recognize and revere Christ in others. For us to have that vision that others can't block or get in the way, that even the distressing disguise of the poor, as Blessed Mother Teresa would call it, wouldn't make our spiritual vision opaque to the reality. And once we see Christ, to revere him, to welcome him into our life as Zacchaeus did, to welcome him into our home as St. John did the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all that that biblical phrase implies. St. Elizabeth of Hungary was somebody who, like Zacchaeus, did the work in order to be able to see Christ in others. And sisters, how beautiful it is, the work of spiritual optometry that you do for the entire mystical body, whereas so many, from one blindness or another, can't recognize and revere Christ in the unborn. You help us all to see the real, deepest identity of the blessed fruit of every woman's womb. You help us to see in that suffering mother someone who was blinded from seeing how Christ is strengthening her in that moment, or somebody who's being challenged, looking out of one side of her eye toward the Lord and one side toward all the pressures, toward all the difficulties, toward all the fears, toward all the stuff that the devil is going to be throwing to distract her. You're able to help women to overcome those who are trying to block her from the Lord, those who are tall, those who are strong, those who are big, those who might be related parents and godparents and grandparents and boyfriends and husbands who might be pressuring, to be able to see Christ and to help others to see Christ is the most important thing and the most important work of mercy. And St. Elizabeth of Hungary exercised that work. Not only did she recognize and revere Christ in others, but by her charity, she helped so many people of her realm learn how to do the same. But in order to see Christ, we need to persevere in that vision. The Lord does allow us glimpses. Allows us glimpses. But the Christian life is one of a set focus on the Lord, in which we never want to take our eyes off of him. St. Luke, in the real sort of pivotal hinge of his gospel, chapter 9, verse 51, says, Jesus set his face resolutely on Jerusalem. And the whole rest of the gospel of St. Luke is with Jesus not taking his eyes off of what was to be accomplished in Jerusalem. And the Lord wants to help us to resolutely set our face on him throughout the entirety of our life, as we see in him the celestial Jerusalem, as we relate everything we're doing on this pilgrimage of life to achieving that goal, and to help us to acquire this type of persevering desire to see Christ and overcome every obstacle to enter into the Lord's presence and allow him to enter into our home. We have this heroic story of Eleazar, one of the greatest figures, in my opinion, who's ever lived, a prototype of every type of martyrdom and a real sign of the way we should go out. If I don't die suddenly, and if I live to a hoary old age, as they call it, though I probably won't have any follicles at all to have even white hair, But if I live old enough, and I'm dying, the one request I'm going to ask is you're taking care of me, especially the younger sister, around at some point where whatever, is to just read me over and over and over and over again the story of Eleazar. I think it's the way every Catholic should be prepared for the suffering. If we recognize what Eleazar was doing at the beginning of his 10th decade as a nonagenarian, we can receive greater courage no matter what we're doing, because he never took his eyes off of God. And it seemed to be something so trivial to everybody else who was blinded. Seemed so trivial. Just eat pork, Eleazar. Just eat it. Swallow it. Ask for God's mercy later. No big deal. Just eat it. Everybody else is doing it, Eleazar. And he refuses. Okay, Eleazar, we care about you. You're one of the chief scribes. You've taught us. You've been a great example for us the entire time. We don't want to see you tortured and murdered. Just bring your own kosher meat and pretend like you're eating it. And he wouldn't do that either, because he knew it would demoralize and scandalize so many others. All the people who are young. And basically, when you're 90, everybody else is young. And you'd scandalize everybody. So he became that incredible example of what it means resolutely to set your face on God and to overcome every obstacle that is thrown in the way that tries to distract you from that focus. We ask him in a special way to help all of those at the other end of life who are so often distracted from the Lord by their own pain or by the false advice of so many around them, that they might receive God's help in order to keep him anew in their focus, so that they might one day be able to behold him face to face forever. I'd ask you in a particular way to pray for the grandfather of one of my spiritual directees. She sent me a text yesterday that she was out in California with her mom. Her grandfather's pretty secular, but he's already gone to the pharmacy in order to get the lethal drug so that he can take his own life. Let's pray for a miracle today for him. And let's ask the Lord to take him before he sins in such a way, but to give him a chance, like Zacchaeus, to allow Jesus to truly come into his life, so that he might have that Zoe, that eternal life Jesus came into the world to give. Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. And when we were so lost that, unlike Zacchaeus, we no longer had the strength to climb a tree to see him, he climbed one for us. So that never, ever, 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 ever in our life will we be able not to see him. Behold the wood of the cross in which hung the Savior of the world. And behold the Lamb of God who comes to our own Jerichos to take away our sins and to invite us to climb up with him on this celestial tree house, this new tree of life, whose leaves will never fade. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.